As we spend the time in the scriptures today, it's interesting that the focus of our message is going to be together prayer. Together prayer. The theme has already been very evident in the Sunday school hour this morning. We sang Sweet Hour of Prayer. And indeed, during the early church, the Jews, so they had an hour, they would have an hour of prayer. And it was a specific time when people would gather together and they would pray. Together prayer. Well, what do I mean by that? It's a kind of a different term that maybe I'm coining, I don't know. But I'm saying that not in a contrast, but in conjunction with private prayer. We've begun a little series that I've entitled Bringing Prayer to Life. And as we began, we looked at John chapter 4 together, and we talked about that woman at the well, and that whole experience that she had there where she met Jesus, and Jesus ministered to her on his terms. And she came to know and understand who he was. And in the midst of that, they talked about how God desires true worshipers, and they are worshipers in spirit and in truth. And so as we pray, prayer is an expression of that real, true relationship that we have with the living God. Now, the living God is indeed spirit. God is spirit. I cannot see or touch him this morning. But nevertheless, I know and I believe by faith that he is true and that he is real. And I worship him in spirit and in truth, the truth, the standard of God's word that guides my thoughts and my faith. Well, prayer is something that many people say they do. You were to ask random people wherever you would go, you would ask them, do you pray? And I'm sure most of them would say, sure, they pray at some points in their life. We have seen our nation at various different times come together and they would pray, specifically even that short phrase, God bless America. But we realize, don't we, that we as the Church of Jesus Christ, that prayer as an expression of our relationship with God includes and involves a depth, and it involves worship as we come to know who we are, who we're talking with. So there's private prayer and there's together prayer. A private prayer is absolutely a part of the Christian life. In fact, it's probably the most common one that we have in our life. And if I were to ask you, do you pray? You would most likely say, yes, I pray. And in your mind, you are looking back to the last time that you prayed and talked with God yourself. And that is such a key and important part. It's in the scriptures, absolutely, that we are to be a people of prayer. We're to be praying without ceasing, which of course would involve a private time of interaction with God. Private prayer is accepted and it's easily recognized. But is this enough? Is this enough for the Church of Jesus Christ? For the Church of Jesus Christ to be a people who are all praying privately. But where's the priority on praying together? Yes, I recognize that I'm going to step on toes today. But my prayer is that it's not necessarily me, but that you understand and hear the emphasis and the truth upon together prayer in the Bible. You need to know, as your pastor, that I wrestle with this because there are not many who gather to pray, at least to my observation. Now, I know some gather to pray at other locations, and again, I'm not demanding that it has to be my way or my time or whatever's on the sign outside. Yet, it can be over Zoom or over the phone or at a small group in your home. And I know these kinds of things are happening, but I want to challenge you in your heart today. Are you a person of prayer, not just privately, but as making a priority of praying together with other believers? I'm growing in this myself, but one of the things that I have personally come to experience is the blessing of praying with you. The times that I have prayed with you, where we have sat knee to knee, or in a circle, and I have heard you pray, ministers to my heart, because I hear a relationship with God that is real. When I hear you pray, I get to know and understand your view of God and the depth of that relationship. When you hear me pray, you get to know the depth of my relationship with God, and you, I trust, are also encouraged. Together prayer. I believe there is an emphasis in the Bible for this. And I believe it is time that we as a church understand this importance and make it an important part of our life. That being personal, but also church life. I know that as your pastor, I can lead in this, and I need to understand from you, what is it that is hindering you from gathering together to pray? What is it? Because if it's a schedule or a time frame thing, those kinds of things can change. I thought through, as I was thinking and preparing for this, about what are the reasons that people neglect to pray together. Perhaps one of these things may be in your mind. A fear of praying in public. I get it. Not everybody likes to pray out loud in front of other people. But is that a reason to not come and join in prayer? A lack of understanding the value of praying together, and that's what we're going to address today. Perhaps for a long time you had said, I pray, and that's enough. Maybe you don't know how to pray. One of the greatest ways you can learn how to pray is by hearing other people pray. Listening to them and hearing how they interact with the Almighty God. Maybe you're confused about what prayer is. That it is an expression of your relationship with God. Maybe you have misguided views of prayer. And I encourage you to do a search of prayers in the Bible. And I know it will be helpful to you. Or maybe you don't know what to pray for or who. You don't know how to pray. Who am I going to pray for? There's probably all kinds of other reasons that there is a lack of togetherness in prayer. But I want to encourage us, and I trust the Word of God will encourage us, that together prayer is needful. We need it. We need one another, as was already testified in our sharing time this morning. What a blessing it is to share time together and how God is speaking into our hearts. Is together prayer important? Is it demonstrated in the Bible? I first want us to go to an example from the life of Jesus in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. You may be familiar with this passage. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. This was not an easy time for him. This was a challenging time for the Lord Jesus. He had just shared with his disciples that he was preparing them for his departure, his suffering, his death, burial, and his coming resurrection and return to the Father. He knew the cross was coming. And in Matthew chapter 26, he takes his disciples to the place of Gethsemane. And verse 36 we read, so I'm in Matthew 26, 36. Then comes Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane and says unto the disciples, sit you here while I go and pray yonder. And then he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Now, you got to understand what's happening. He's got his disciples, the 12 are with them. He says, come to the garden. And then he pulls out Peter, James, and John, and they go a little ways, and the text tells us he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Listen, Peter, James, and John had a first-hand, first glimpse of Jesus and his grief. And Jesus wanted them to see that. Now look what happens. Then he says, verse 38 to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me. Now, he doesn't say the word prayer in there, but we understand it was implied by the rest of the context. The idea is, I want you with me and I want you watching with me. Jesus, this is where he sweat drops of blood. This is where he was praying. Verse 39, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you wilt. Verse 40, then he came unto his disciples, and he found them asleep. And he said unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Now verse 41, he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus desired his disciples to join him in the spiritual battle that was raging. The battle was intense. They had a unique opportunity to stand with and for Christ. And sadly, we see what happens to too many of us. Our flesh is weak, our spirit is willing, but our flesh takes the upper hand. How many of us can identify with those disciples? Right? We have the willing spirit, right? That we say we know what we are supposed to be doing. We know where we're supposed to be. The reality is our flesh is weak. I mean, this is the evening time. We know it was dark because Judas comes with all the soldiers with torches. They're weary and they're emotionally spent, and Jesus is grieving, and they fell asleep. Jesus' prayer time demonstrates for us the intensity of that battle. What is the importance of together prayer? What's the lesson we can learn from this? The value of standing with one another in the battle. Have you ever recognized someone who's just struggling? Struggling, whether it's a physical ailment or it's emotional, whether it's a relationship. Pray with them. Stand with them. The battle is raging. It is real. Remember what Paul told the Ephesian church in chapter 6 of his letter. He goes through and the spiritual armor, and he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And don't overlook the fact that this passage includes prayer. For in verse 18 of Ephesians 6, he says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." The together prayer is an opportunity for you to stand with someone physically and do battle together spiritually. But I could pray for somebody and stand with them in prayer in my own home. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I know that. And we do that often. But it should not take away from the importance of your presence together in prayer. I can't tell you how much it means to hear people praying for me. Now, lots of people say they pray for me, and I believe they do. But when people stop and pray for me in my presence, it's a ministry like no other. And you can stand with your brother and sister, your wife, your husband, your child. You can stand with them in prayer physically together and do battle together spiritually. Peter, James, and John, I sense that was the invitation from Jesus. And I believe that one of the reasons we have this preserved for us is to emphasize this important point. Jesus was, the battle was raging. He longed for these men to band together, but the flesh was weak. Can it be exhausting? Yes, it can. People are struggling. They're often emotional. They'll dump everything out. And it can be exhausting. Oh, but listen, together prayer is one of the ways that you can stand with someone and be a strength and encouragement for them in the midst of the spiritual battle that rages. Don't miss this. Don't miss this blessing that we have together. Go to Acts chapter 1. Now, we go to the book of Acts because the Acts tells us the history of the early church. And so you need to understand something. I don't have this all together myself. I learn and I grow with you. And often as I study the scriptures, it's feeding myself as I am growing just like you. Acts chapter 1, following Jesus' ascension, we pick up in verse 12. "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the brother of James." And verse 14, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." So Jesus has just ascended into heaven. The Spirit of God has not yet descended. Pentecost hasn't happened. In fact, we're about 10 days out. The disciples have been informed that the Spirit is going to come. They're to stay there and wait. To my knowledge, the length of time was not given. How did they spend their time? How did they spend this time of some uncertainty? Yes. Anticipation and excitement? Surely. But there are so many unknowns. What's next? And they spent this time in one accord, in prayer and in supplication. Do you notice the connection of the terms one accord and prayer and supplication? You see those two words, those two phrases, shall I say? What is one accord? One accord is what? Unity, right? A oneness. We're a oneness of mind and heart. So we have one accord, unity, oneness of mind and heart, associated with prayer and supplication. The power of together prayer. One of its effects is that it draws people together. Oneness. My wife and I experienced this on the level of our marriage. We have recognized that the more we spend time in prayer together, the better off our relationship is. And yes, a pastor's relationship in marriage is just like yours. Sometimes it's really hard, difficult, rocky. We have our moments. We don't have it all together either. But we notice that our times of praying together is a sweet balm that helps us through difficult times. Praying together is you are actually joining together in the same effort, the same relationship, you and God. And so from this passage, I want to emphasize for you the connection between one accord and prayer. And that's not happening in a private prayer. This is together prayer, as they are together in one place. The together prayer is drawing people to a oneness. Verse 24, the same chapter, says, "And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen." Now let me just give you context. They're choosing a replacement for Judas Iscariot. Remember, he committed suicide. He betrayed the Lord Jesus. And so they are seeking to replace him. So they have a number of 12 once again. Well, how did they make this decision? Notice what they did is they recognized there were two in their midst who met the criteria. Two, but they only had one spot. So what did they do? They prayed. They prayed. So what is together prayer? Together prayer, it brings our hearts together, and it together emphasizes the Lord is in control. They had a decision to make. And how were they going to make that decision? The together prayer points and emphasizes the fact they together are recognizing the Lord is the head of us. So we go to the Lord for his guiding will. Are you doing that with here in your church? I think we could do better. As we pray about decisions that we make, so often we will say, let's pray about these things, and then we go our separate ways, and I believe you are praying. But how often are we praying together about these things? About leaders of our fellowship, about ministries that need to take place or that you see. And we can pray about these things and ask God for clarity and for direction, believing he will give it. Don't you see that when we pray about these things, we are laying ourselves prostrate before the Almighty God and saying, your will be done, not mine. And if I hear you like that and you hear me like that, that puts us at the same place, and that's the right place. Yeah, absolutely is. So what does that mean? That means we would have to share these things. It means that we would have to take some time and we would pray together. And I trust that as we do that, you have an anticipation and an excitement for what God is doing in our midst. You look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. This is after Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit has come, and 3,000 souls have been added to the church. Brand new church now goes from 120 to 3,000. And verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. You notice there's a list here of four things that ought to characterize every church. And they're separated by the word and, a conjunction that puts these things in an itemized list. They're all of value. The teaching of the apostles' doctrine. Fellowship. Breaking of bread. Prayer. These things demand what? Together. Together. That word steadfastly in the text, verse 42, they continued steadfastly, means with devotion and perseverance. This describes how they continued in these things. So we understand they did these things, but how did they do them? They did them with great devotion and perseverance. They were steadfast on these things. So this church that grew so quickly, they recognized the importance of being together. And prayer is one of these four things, along with the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread. You go to Acts chapter 4. Peter and John are being persecuted for their ministry. And when they are released, they, verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company. Now, who's their own company? Well, we're going to find out. And reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, that's the company that they went to be with. When the company heard this, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, they're praying. Peter and John just were persecuted for healing a man and teaching in the name of Jesus. Not a crime. And when they were released, where did they go? They didn't run home. They ran to their church. They ran to their brothers and sisters in Christ, and they told them what had happened, and the result was, let's pray. Let's pray. And so the prayer, Lord, you are God, which have made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against your holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever your hand, your counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You see, the apostles had a group of people to whom they could report and find encouragement and strength. You see, praying together provides strength for the battle. It provides the spiritual support that we need to the point that we can come to our church and we can unload and say, this is what happened. And the church prays. How does this happen if we don't come together? The church prayed, and notice they prayed and God answered their prayers. And these apostles were encouraged, and they said, it says that they spoke the word of God with boldness. I could imagine that Peter and John, after their encounter there with the chief priests, were a bit shook up. They spoke boldly, and we will teach in the name of Jesus, but I can imagine that as they came and reported it back to their church, there was some uneasiness or anxiety. This is speculation on my part, being a human being, just like them. And so I believe what God did was he spiritually encouraged them through this together prayer. You see here that the result was the manifestation of the Spirit's power and presence. You know what? Sometimes we need help to be reoriented, right? And prayer can do that. We can unload and just share with somebody, and then somebody, they'll pray, and we are just reminded of the Spirit's power and the fact we're not alone. His presence is with us. Acts chapter 12, and again, just a brief survey of these passages to encourage and emphasize the importance of together prayer. Acts chapter 12. James is killed by Herod. So Herod, he sees how exciting it was, and people are happy about this. The Jews are happy about this, I should say. The church is not. So he grabs Peter. He puts Peter in prison. Look at Acts 12, verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God and for him. Now, this could be in private prayers, yes, but I believe the text teaches us otherwise, that this church was gathered in the home, and they were praying for Peter. Look at verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, so in other words, the Lord released him from prison. I should, you know, that's important detail. The Lord releases him from prison, and he is out of the prison. And once he realizes, hey, God has delivered me. Verse 12, when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together, what? Praying. Wow. Why did he go there? Why? I believe he knew and understood that his church would be praying for him. It says they were praying without ceasing. Could you just put yourself in the shoes of Peter? Being on the doorsteps of death, of execution. Herod was just waiting for the Passover to be over. James had just been killed. Peter's next. And God releases him. It's his sovereign will. Could God have released James? Absolutely. Did the church pray for James? Probably, but we don't know. But most likely they're praying for Peter. They would have prayed for James. The outcome is not what ought to determine whether we should pray together. The instruction is, and the demonstration that they did should emphasize its importance. And Peter comes to this house. They are praying for him. He knocks. The young girl answers. She knew it was Peter's voice, but she didn't open the door because she was so excited. She ran in. She told the crowd of the church gathered and praying that Peter was out there, and they said, "You're mad." I wonder, what were these people praying? I wonder what they thought here, because Peter's really out there? And so Peter just kept on knocking. And then they saw him. They were astonished. And so he comes in, verse 17, with his hand. He holds up his hand to hold their peace. He says, He declares unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brother." And he departed and went into another place. You see, the church understood that one of their own was in a difficult situation. And what did they do? They went together and they prayed. This was praying at their house. But they were together and they were holding their brother up in prayer. You see, church, we cannot lose sight of the importance of being together. Of being together and praying together. I know that we have been pushed apart this year. Pushed apart mainly because of this virus. But there are other things that, of course, we could say have pushed us apart. People have gone through horrendous things and difficult circumstances. And we as the church have this wonderful privilege to pray. Are you praying? Are you praying privately? Most of us would probably say, yes, we are. How important is praying together? I hope you see how important it is from the Word of God. I hope you recognize that the church praying brought great support and encouragement to one another, to their leaders, and it brought oneness in its fellowship. We need all of that. Listen, a church is people, not a place. It's a people. And a people who gather together. So you consider how God is impressing your heart this morning with what we've been confronted with, shall I say. Notice, I'm not dictating anything. But what I am hearing from God is that I must not give up on encouraging our church to pray together. I cannot abandon that. Do we need to find different ways to accomplish this? Maybe. I'm open for those kinds of suggestions and thoughts. Listen, we're a church. This is not my church. We are a church, and we can work together so that we can please God and accomplish these things together. I realize our lives are diverse, but we're one in the spirit. And we need to be together in prayer. Our children need to be together with us in prayer. They need to learn and grow. What is prayer? How can we teach them? This is a wonderful opportunity. So hear the word of God. Let it rest in your heart. Thank you, Lord, for this time. And I thank you for the guiding truth of your precious word. And right now, we pray together, understanding and recognizing that we are a fellowship, a group of people who have the unique opportunity of being in the midst of Amish country. And many here minister to the Amish every day. And we pray for them right now that you would give to them great purpose, joy in the ministry, and boldness in proclaiming the word of God. I pray for our young people who are faced with incredible pressures, that you would keep their hearts pure, for it is your will. I pray for those that work with the unsaved in close proximity and perhaps every single day are bombarded with the evil things of this world. God, give them endurance in their faith. We pray together for them. And we pray for boldness as they stand for you. And I pray that fruitfulness will be evident. Lord, we pray for our community here in Rural Grove. Lord, you have this church, these buildings, and you have us gathering together in this small little village. Because, Lord, I believe you want to work in the hearts and lives of these dear neighbors. I thank you for those that are coming, and I pray that you would bring more. Oh, God, may this just be the beginning of many fruitful times of prayer together. In Jesus' name, amen.